So a lot of people get into this business, you know, looking at suits and cars and all the rest of it. But reality is you shouldn't come into this business for money. You really shouldn't. A doctor doesn't go to work. A brain surgeon doesn't go to work just for the money, you know, and they're very, very handsomely paid for what they do and their profession. So if you do dedicate time to this job, it can be very rewarding, but for the right reasons. And you've got to be very conscious of that.
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent for Real Estate Industry, sales professionals, property managers, and leaders. We bring you the best minds in business and real estate to help you list more, sell more, and elevate your results. To download your written action guide from this podcast containing extra tips, links, and shortcuts, visit EliteAgentElevate.com. Now, here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Welcome to another episode of the Elevate podcast, where we delve into some of the most interesting minds in business and in real estate for the very best tips and strategies for you to implement to elevate your business. I'm Samantha McLean, editor of Elite Agent and host of this week's show. Today, my guest is a rising sales superstar in Sydney who recently joined the agency as property partner and recently also appeared on Channel 9's Married at First Sight. Welcome to the show, Ivan Sarakula.
Thanks, Samantha. How are you?
Yeah, really, really good. It's crazy to be seeing you on our screens after you've been on TV screens for like the last 12 months. But you've actually been in real estate for about 5 years, haven't you?
I have. And it's certainly made that relationship with my clients a little bit more rewarding, having been, you know, familiar face on the telly, I think gains a little bit more trust and want to engage, so which has been really good.
Yeah, so people are kind of recognising you now in a real estate capacity from watching you on the show?
Yeah, definitely.
Interesting. So how did you get into real estate in the first place? You had an interest in Prestige Motor Mechanics, so how did you make the switch?
Yeah, so I was actually working for a Prestige dealership at the time as a workshop manager, and we used to drop some of the more expensive vehicles back off to their owners and offer pickup and drop off services, etc. And the principal of my first job actually owned a sporty, fancy European car of the manufacturer that I was working at the time. And just so happens we got talking about real estate. I bought an investment property at the time and I was genuinely interested in it and sort of just put it forward to him, if you've got any extracurricular work outside of my business hours. And that's how I got started, you know, working sort of pro bono Saturdays after hours, just really mirroring a, you know, top performing $1 million plus agent at the time and being his like sort of little sidekick, and that moved into an assistant's role and the rest is history.
Yeah, amazing. Do you remember your first sale or your first listing presentation?
Look, there's been quite a few since 5 years ago. I do still keep a folder of every single client's buyers and vendors details from, you know, first transaction to date. So it's always there for me to reference.
So we're going to come back to the show in the moment, but I just want to talk about South Sydney and how you're working with the agency, because you just touched on the fact that a lot of people are recognising you now from the show. And so your expertise is around the Sutherland Shire, but you're actually working across many more suburbs than that now. How does that work?
Basically, the agency is composed of a large network of offices, and it's not like a dog-eat-dog as per some other businesses that I've worked behind. Everybody's very accommodating, very welcoming, and it gives me the opportunity, this business, to utilise those other offices and networks and sort of pair up with specialists in other areas. You know, I'm pretty well versed in Sydney as a whole, but I mean, I'm getting inquiry from, you know, Newcastle to western suburbs to south, etc. So look, there's definitely ample opportunity for me to still execute a very professional service with the help of my team. With relation to the south, yeah, Sutherland Shire and St. George is predominantly my focus points, or where I have been operating business for the five-year period, but definitely some exciting things looking like on the horizon.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it must be. So let's get into the show, because I'm sure some of our listeners are quite curious as to how being on reality TV marries up with a real estate career. Like, first of all, what made you decide to go on the show and what was the audition process like?
I think being in this business, like, you've really got to be very passionate with what you do, and it takes away somewhat of your, you become very focused in what you do, and it takes away some of that sort of extracurricular time for yourself to be able to go out there. You know, typically dating culture in our society, we're going out to bars and pubs and things like that. We're working Saturdays, you know what I mean? So that's already written off. By the end of a big, busy Saturday, if you are, you know, performing well in that particular period, the last thing you want to do is go out till the early hours on a Saturday evening. I guess it was just a more genuine way for me and another avenue to explore that. I hadn't in the past, you know, the apps and things weren't doing me any justice. And the opportunity presented itself. I had a few friends pushing me. I had a bit of bad luck with love that year leading up to the audition process. And a few friends sort of suggesting that I'd be perfect for the gig, and made the application and didn't really think much of it. Next minute I'm in a conference room having a face-to-face with the head producers and a couple of Channel 9 executives. And yeah, they obviously took a liking to me and ended up finding me a partner.
Yeah, interesting. And she was also a real estate agent, wasn't she, Alex?
Yeah, she's a property manager in Perth. So in terms of understanding and language, et cetera, we had a lot of similarities there.
Yeah, it's kind of like a couple of chefs working together, isn't it? Like you get used to the long Saturdays and the long hours and needing to take care of yourself and keep your energy up and all that sort of stuff.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, it's a slightly different market in Perth to ours in Sydney, but nevertheless, it's the same game, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So the wedding was beautiful. I did see some footage of the wedding and then the honeymoon. What was that like, you know, from going to meeting someone for the first time to getting married to then going away with them? How did you find all of that?
I mean, being in the industry, I'm a very adaptable personality. So just treading lightly and I guess trying to read Alex's body languages, et cetera, tolerances. It was all very exciting for me. It was all very new. She's a beautiful girl. And I certainly breezed through the process in terms of, you know, communication and compatibility. Yeah, there was never any reluctance or awkwardness or anything. It was all very much exciting.
I guess as a real estate agent too, like you're taught to read people, like when you're in a listing presentation, you're actually looking for body language and things like that. So I guess that would have been actually good meeting someone for the first time having that training.
Absolutely. This industry has definitely, you know, you use the word training, but it's definitely sharpened my people skills as a whole and benefited me in day-to-day communication and life. And obviously getting married to a stranger, that prevailed as well because, yeah, it was certainly not an awkward moment for me whatsoever. It was just meeting a new person and learning them slowly but surely. And, you know, it turned out to be a really, really nice story for me and Alex.
What were some of the lessons that you came across during the filming of the show that you weren't totally prepared for?
I learned a lot about tolerances, patience, resilience. I typically have in the past loved to have control over every aspect of my life. And this was a scenario where I actually had no control and it was extremely frustrating initially, but I just had to go with the flow. So I think I've come out respecting the fact that you don't always have to know what's going on. And it certainly benefited me at the other end. I learned that there are some key thoughts, feelings, beliefs in life that are really unwarranted and unnecessary to help us excel. Some of which, you know, judgment on others, anger, aggression, these are all qualities that many of us possess at certain moments in life, and we're human beings, we're all going to have those elements to us. But letting go of those unnecessary traits was something that I found extremely difficult at the start, but by the end of it, certainly benefited my headspace.
Let's talk about that for a bit, because we see all the time on reality TV where the producers have to come up with a story, even on shows like there was that parody of The Bachelor, Unreal or something rather, where they showed behind the scenes on some of these reality shows. And often they'll make someone the bad guy or they'll blow things completely out of proportion, and then that overflows onto social media as well. So having been in that cauldron of activity and being at the mercy of producers, how did you cope with that and what did you learn from that?
Alex was definitely a calming force for me. I think if I was matched with someone else, things could have panned out a whole lot differently, but she's very much a rule follower. I like to, you know, sort of slightly bend the rules at the best of times, but Alex, she takes direction very, very well, and I didn't initially, so she sort of whipped me into line, and I think a lot of people saw that as the series unfolded. I mean, it was what we signed up for. So I can't whinge. I had a really, really genuine and good experience with Channel 9, with the production company, et cetera. And it resulted in a very meaningful relationship for me that unfortunately hasn't worked out. But nevertheless, it's something that I'll remember for the rest of my life. So for that, I'm very, very grateful. I understand now a little bit of the back end of television and production, et cetera. And at the end of the day, there is a certain element of appealing to an audience. But everything we say is words out of our mouth, like they can't force us to say anything. There's certainly lines of questioning, et cetera, that will psychologically lead to admissions, et cetera. But I think myself and Alex sort of maintain composure to the best of our abilities anyway.
Yeah, from what I saw, for sure, definitely. There's lots of reality shows, real estate reality shows. One of your colleagues, Jesse Rayburn, he was on The Block last year. I mean, using your own experience, I guess the exposure can put your personal brand out there in a really positive way. What would you say to other real estate agents who are thinking about getting on reality shows for that reason?
I'd say be very careful. I'd say be very careful because it could go one way or the other. The first week or two of... And the guys at the agency have been very, very supportive. But the first week or two, I was a little bit of a villain, a little bit of a pest, a little bit annoying, you know, and it bounced onto social media. You've got to be very, very headstrong because people do judge, people do criticize. And the majority of them are internet warriors. They wouldn't dare say boo to your face in the street. But, you know, it can have an impact on you. So you've got to be very, very resilient, very, very strong. And you've got to remember that at any given point, what anything that you say or do can be used and cut and blasted to an audience of what panned out in this season of Married at First Sight, you know, probably a touch over 10% of the population. And it's about to be aired in the US as well. So two different audiences looking at your life insides and outs. You've really got to be prepared for it. I didn't go in it for a launching platform for anything. I went into it, you know, for genuine reasons. And I believe I got that out of it. Just so happens that obviously, you know, things haven't worked out. And now I am in a position where, you know, if utilized correctly, I might be able to steer it in different avenues and use it to promote and benefit my business. But that was certainly not why I went into it. And I think you'd have to question yourself, depending on what sort of reality platform you want to be on, you know, what your intentions and motives are. You know, something like The Block, fantastic, because it's industry relevant. And I'm sure as time goes by, like there's talk of a couple of real estate shows coming to air soon, maybe auctioneering stuff and things like that. So yeah, if it's relevant to what you're doing in life, I'd say go for it, all guns blazing. But when it comes to the usually gossip and drama orientated programs like the one that I was involved in, I'd say just be weary. Just be weary.
Yeah, The Bachelor too. That was a good example. But I tell you what, I'd love to see a couple of agents on Survivor. I reckon they'd kill it.
Maybe that's the next step for me, hey?
Absolutely. Like, I think you guys are probably one of the most resilient professions out there for sure. And I mean, speaking of resilience, so you've just said that a lot of people were looking at you and judging you, and I'm sure that on reality TV, that's what it's designed to do. In your own mind, how do you get past that? Like, how do you just drop?
Whiskey.
Whiskey. Yeah. Good answer.
Now, look, I've got a really, really tight circle of friends and family around me. So when you're engulfed into a new industry like entertainment, media, et cetera, whatever you want to call it, even though it was a reality platform, the common theme that you hear is it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks about you. If they've got no positive influence or impact to your life, and I think you could apply it to our industry as well. If somebody doesn't have a positive influence or impact or is in direct relation to your life, who really cares about what they think of you? You know, the people that know you matter the most. And it just so happens that 2 million other people are now watching you, plus, you know, 2 to 5 million audience are now all of a sudden watching the average Joe, which I still consider myself to be. Typically, Ivan would be liked by, I'll call it 60, you know, I might be liked by 60% of people that know me personally, and maybe 40% don't like me, whatever, for whatever reason. Yeah. That might be a network of 2,000, 5,000 people. You're on The Box, the television, all of a sudden that's amplified. So the 60% becomes, the 40% that hate me becomes a million people. You know what I mean? That's hard to swallow at first. I love the support. I love encouragement. Anything positive anyone has to say about another individual is beautiful and welcomed, whether it's myself or yourself or just in general in life. But, you know, you learn to ignore and block out the negative stuff. And I think I've taken that lesson and adapted it to many elements of my life, not just with judgment, but negativity. There's no room in your headspace for negativity, especially if you want to perform at your field.
Yeah, I think that's a good lesson for some of your colleagues out there too, because every other week a current affair will blow up something about a real estate agent that did something else.
Yeah, and it's hard. It's hard to drop that, and especially in our industry when a lot of us spend time comparing ourselves. You know, I want to be bigger and better, and I want to be like that agent, or I want to drive that car or whatever. None of it matters. None of it matters. If you're honest and you're passionate about what you do, you build your integrity and your trust system. And if you enjoy doing what you do, it doesn't matter what you earn, what you drive, who you work for. If you're happy and you're an honest person, think good things will come to you. And that's what I've found throughout the process.
And I think what's interesting too is what you just said about what you've learned coming out of the process is it goes both ways. So if you don't like being judged, then don't judge other people.
Exactly right. Don't do it. Yeah. The sad part about television, especially for, you know, individuals just coming into it for the first time, we've had no experience. We've had no on the reality platform, no briefings as such. Like they do their best, Endemol Shimon's production company, they do their absolute best and they offer counselling services, etc. But people have come off the back of it, you know, needing to see professional counsellors and psychologists and a large majority. So, you know, it begs the question. But it's all self-development. I see it as personal development and professional development, you know.
Yeah, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, right?
Absolutely.
It's exciting for you now to come back and work for the agency.
Yes.
And so you came back with a bang. So in March this year, all the corona craziness was kind of starting. You had the most viewed auction listing for a property down in Sylvania Waters. And the home itself attracted more clicks online than any other listing across the country. And I have to say, like, it must have been weird going back to work because I did Google you before this interview, being a good researcher, and the Daily Mail had snapped you just going to work. Ivan Saracula goes to work.
Yeah.
Like, how did it feel getting that much of a positive response on your first property back?
Motivating, you know, like really encouraging and motivating. And it's given me sort of a lot more enthusiasm coming off the back of obviously a failed relationship to get stuck back into things and absolutely excel at what I do.
Not really a failed relationship, you just a learning experience.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're right. You're spot on. It's all words. Exactly right. Failed marriage, maybe. Failed marriage is the better term. But I mean, I still very much respect and care for Alex and always will. So, yeah. On the back of something that was supposed to be happily ever after, to come off of that, like, I'm not going to lie, there was some down moments. So to come back into work and be received with such results and statistics with the first listing was great. You know, it sort of puts my mind back into focus, and that's where we're at today.
Let's talk about branding. Because a lot of agents, well, particularly now with social distancing and things like that in place, which is forcing agents to become more digital, what sort of tips would you give other agents who are sort of thinking about elevating their personal brand on things like Instagram or Facebook or things like that? How are you approaching that?
I think social is crucial. I've got a few colleagues that put a lot of investment into sponsored posting. Whenever any listing that comes up, you can target an audience on your Facebooks or Instagrams. It's something that I'm not leveraging enough, but I certainly plan to do so in the future, is to target your demographic of, you know, figure out what your buyer target market is for each listing, figure out what your potential next vendor may be for your next listing, and target your sponsored posting on both the Instagram and Facebook platforms. And you need both of them, I believe. Instagram is generally a younger demographic and Facebook tend to be more engaging with more business orientated posting rather than Instagram, which is a little bit more, you know, flashy and I guess trying to highlight the positive reel of one's life. Whereas I think Facebook can be more appealing to an older demographic, which typically are homeowners. So I think that space is a crucial one and I think something to definitely always be on board with.
Yeah, absolutely. Good advice there. So speaking of advice, just some general questions, I think, for other agents out there who might be listening, either young or old. What was the most valuable piece of advice that someone ever gave you during your career?
An overnight success takes 10 years. So a lot of people get into this business, you know, looking at suits and cars and all the rest of it. But reality is you shouldn't come into this business for money. You really shouldn't. A doctor doesn't go to work. A brain surgeon doesn't go to work just for the money, you know, and they're very, very handsomely paid for what they do and their profession. So if you do dedicate time to this job, it can be very rewarding, but for the right reasons. And you've got to be very conscious of that.
Yeah. So good intentions, in other words.
Absolutely. Good intentions. And a lot of people get into this game and expect to make immediate results, but it's a tough industry, you know, otherwise everybody would be doing it. And I think like many industries, you know, perception of real estate is all of us are making billions of dollars, but you know, like any other industry, the top 5% of people will be on significant incomes, you know, as an industry standard. So people jumping into the game, make sure you're dedicated to the cause before making a rash decision about, you know, your career essentially.
If I was just starting my career in real estate, I've just made the decision that I want to go and help people find their dream house. What advice would you give me to get on my way, build my database, that sort of thing?
I'd say get behind a already reputable, successful agent as an assistant, or whether it be admin or something. And we're talking about sales at the moment because that's where I started, and mirror their systems. Listen to podcasts, watch other high-performing agents on social platforms. There's 1,000 different ways to skin a cat. You know, some people do massive things just by knocking on doors. Others use cold call databases. Others use their own networks. Others use social platforms, offer promotions, etc., to gain databases. There are so many several ways to do it. It's what's most comfortable for you. And the way I started learning was to start mirroring the habits and, I guess, day-to-day activity of a high-performing agent. So that's the advice I would give, to mirror somebody else that is in a successful position, to start mirroring their habits.
Good advice. What do you think your biggest challenges will be in the next 6 to 12 months?
I think genuinity. I think of inquiry, I think, will be challenging. I think as much as I am heavily focused at the moment, you know, we have had the whole COVID stuff going on. I dare say there may not be other media opportunities for me down the track, et cetera, that will drag me away from a focus. Luckily enough, I am with a business like the agency, which does give me the chance to lean on my colleagues to assist in any business ventures that might be going on in those times. But that's probably going to be my most significant challenge, I think, being dragged away from work for the backlash of the show still, yeah.
So you're telling us that you might be on Survivor?
Oh, I hope so. nothing planned, that's for sure.
Yeah, I know they've cancelled everything at the moment, which I'm gutted about. Yeah, but anyway.
But apart from that, I mean, more industry relevant. I mean, getting away from the whole corona stuff, back into normality in terms of open homes, etc. And quite noticeably, the market has taken a dive south since, you know, the whole economy has taken a turn from COVID. So being able to respond to that, to both buyers and vendors alike, it's very similar to any other declining market cycle that most real estate agents that have been in this for a long time have been through anyway. It just comes with a virus attached to it.
I think it comes back to resilience again too, which is what we've been talking about, is how do you remain focused in, you know, with all of this other stuff going on around you? I think
it's all just noise. And at the end of the day, things are still transacting. So, you know, there's no bad, I got told again, a good piece of advice from one of my earlier mentors, there's no bad time to sell real estate. You buy and sell in the same climate. So things are still transacting. There are still people out there wanting to purchase real estate. It's just a matter of empathetically dealing with it to adhere to the needs of the current environment.
Yeah, absolutely. Are there any books you're reading at the moment, or any that you'd recommend for other agents?
Not so much performance or industry related, but I think our business is a lot about mindset. So, you know, a healthy mind will lead to good productivity and positivity. One that's sort of certainly taught me a lot is You Can Heal Your Life by Janet Hayes. That's probably one of my top five that I've just recently finished. And it basically talks about, yeah, mindfulness and positive mindset and being able to sort of almost counteract any relationship illness, et cetera, based on positive thinking. So I think it can definitely, parts of that can be adapted into the business world for sure.
Any digital resources or tools that you found have made an impact for you, or that you'd recommend to other agents, any must-haves?
I'm more one to, rather than stringently listening to podcasts, everyone's got a different mentality or methodology. You know, I've got a lot of friends that are high-performing agents that have jumped in the car 5 a.m. on the way to the gym, be on podcasts. Myself personally, I follow who I sort of resonate with, or whose style I sort of can appreciate on the social platforms, watch what they're doing, and that gives me motivation to get my game in check, you know.
Yeah, so again, it's kind of looking at things that resonate with you.
Absolutely. And I think if you're working for a bigger company, a lot of bigger real estate brands and offices will offer training and professional development courses, et cetera, within the organization. I'd say if that's offered to you, take it on board.
Okay, if it's not Survivor, what does the next 12 months look like for you?
To be honest with you, and this is probably one of my biggest downfalls, I at the moment coming off the back of everything, with everything so chaotic, I'm sort of just taking it one step at a time. I've got lines out there in different avenues, from development to, you know, still a little bit of a foot in media to very much heavily focused in real estate. So I'm not 100% certain where I'm going to be in 12 months' time. I'm very optimistic and positive that it's going to be in a good place and still very much real estate focused. So we'll just have to wait and see how it all pans out. At the moment, I'm just enjoying being back into the scheme of listing and selling property and loving the feedback that I'm getting from my clients.
And what about love?
Love, well, back on the path to finding love, I guess. I think I'm a little bit less focused and pressured to do anything too rash because I've, you know, just come off the back of a marriage. So I think it'd be unfair on myself to state that next thing that hits me on the face is going to be the right one, but you never know. And I said the same thing about the show, about being on Married at First Sight. A lot of people question intentions, etc. I'm a numbers guy. Yeah, real estate's about numbers. You look at the past successes of the show, it's below 5% in terms of who's actually stayed together. So I would be naive if I didn't go into it knowing that. However, in every element of life, you don't know where you're going to meet the perfect partner. Some people are at nightclubs, some people are at the coffee shop, some people are at work, some people through family, friends, some people are Married at First Sight. And so, you know, I gave it a go. So if something hits me in the face, I'm definitely open to it. But I think for now, I'm sort of dulled down the looking a little bit.
Yeah. It sounds like prospecting in a way, what you just described then in real estate. So
yeah, it certainly is. It certainly is.
I'm hopeful for you.
Thank you so much, Sarah.
So Ivan, it's been wonderful to talk to you and really interesting, the stuff about resilience and what it's like behind the scenes of a reality show and all that sort of thing, and also just how you're launching yourself back into the real estate world.
Yeah, absolutely.
If there was one thing that you'd like the audience to take away from listening into our chat, what would it be?
Be kind. Don't believe anything you read and only half of what you see.
That is really good advice. Ivan Sarakula, thank you so much.
Cheers, Samantha.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Elevate from Elite Agent. To download your written action guide from this podcast containing extra tips, links and shortcuts, visit eliteagentelevate.com.